as you know, it can be bought for 45 cents from the government printing office now. The report was an internal document. It was never meant as a public document, but when the public became interested, why, the Department of Labor released it. It was, as I say, an internal document written for government persons. Any issue raised in this sensitive and important area naturally gets criticized and should be examined, studied. There's no reason to single out the Negro at all, excepting that most of the poor people in our cities, in our ghettos today, happen to be Negro. Not all the poor people in America by any means, but the Negro American is the person today who has been most viciously, criminally exploited, abused, discriminated against, segregated. Remember, this is not a new problem for America. When I talk about the problem of Negro children, remember, in the 19th century, the characteristic social welfare institution was the orphan asylum. The slums, the Irish, Italian, German slums of the 19th century produced much the same patterns of life, and only a long, painful climb came out of them. The question is whether we are going to require Americans to endure that agony or whether we're going to do something about it. And I wrote the report in the hopes that we would, and I think we're going to. But let me repeat that there has been almost no criticism of the report as such, because it simply states a set of facts. These are accurate statistics, most of them government statistics, most of them are available if you dig through those census volumes. The issue is, what are we going to do about these facts? Well, there are a great many people who thought we shouldn't talk about these things, I suppose. There always are people who understandably, genuinely feel that way. But if you remember, 15 years ago, it would have been thought a very bad thing indeed to talk about the low IQs of Negro school children on the grounds that that might give ammunition to racists, to enemies of school integration. Today, I think the civil rights leaders know that is not only good thing to talk about, but it's the best possible argument for showing the schools aren't doing their job. And they bring these matters up and they put them on the table and say, now what are we going to do about that problem? I was trying to show that unemployment statistics, which are so dull, and you've read so many of them and you don't know what you may mean, and they're hard to believe, that unemployment nonetheless ended up with orphaned children, with abandoned mothers, with men living furtive lives without even an address. That unemployment had flesh and blood in it, it could bleed. That's all I was trying to do. But let's not make any mistake on this, that having done that to people and done that to their families, and I would say to Mr. Booker that any given moment, two-thirds of the Negro families are husband-wife families, but over the lifetime, only about a little more than a third of Negro children come of 18, having lived all their lives in such a family. And that hurts people. That deprives them of opportunities, not to have a father, not to have a mother. You've lost something that helps you in life. And so this process feeds back into the cycle. So we can't act as if the family were just a result. It is also an effect. And strong families produce strong peoples. Look at Martin Luther King. Where would he be without the Reverend King? I mean, think of the some of the great men of our civil rights movement. Think of great men anywhere. But how often they have strong parents who give them education and a sense of moral urgency to problems and the courage to face up to them. The conduct of most Negro Americans, when they have the option to do what they want to do, is they live, they're Americans, they live like Americans. And I would like to see people free to be able to live the way they want to live, not forced to live the way economic and social conditions require. As E. Franklin Frazier said, and I quoted from him at some length, there is a lot of evidence that the Negro middle-class family, when it gets its opportunity, gets a bearing, is, if anything, more stern, more rigid than most. But the evidence is simply clear. 10 health districts in Central Harlem, the area which the great American sociologist Kenneth Clark described in his Harlem report as having undergone a massive deterioration of the fabric of society and its institutions, and right under our prosperous noses that happened. That hasn't existed for 50 years. That's happened in the last 15 years in this America, and we've been sitting around thinking things have been getting better, and they haven't been getting better for those children. And I think I, for one, if you think, see what people can face for the civil rights movement in the way of sheriffs, in the way of howling mobs, in the way of the disapproval of their entire society, well, I think, I would hope certainly I'm willing to face the disapproval of a few white liberals from Boston who think I shouldn't raise the subject because it's impolite. I believe this country owes the American Negro his back wages, yes. Up until now, a great deal of the civil rights effort has gone to changing the conduct of white persons. The white racists of the South were just pathological people whose conduct had to be changed. They had to be helped too. Now I think it's clear we have to help to change the conduct, change the living patterns of Negroes in our slums.